The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Time for Capital Thinking, where we analyze the key policy, political, legal, and business issues that will shape America's future. Live from Washington, D.C., this is your unfiltered tour of the halls of power. Now, here's your host, Kevin O'Neill.
All right, welcome to Capital Thinking. We've got a terrific show today. We're going one-on-one with the new quarterback for the National Football League Players Association. That's Dee Smith, a great litigator here in Washington, D.C., who's been recently elected as the executive director of the NFLPA. Dee, welcome back to the show. We're delighted to have you on board.
Great to be here, Kevin.
Well, listen, let's jump right into it. We got lots to cover in our hour here. I know folks are going to want to call in. If you want to call and ask Dee a question, our number is 866-472-5789. But Dee, let's start with from the top. You were in Hawaii a couple weeks ago, an election process that saw you come out on top. And tell us a little bit about what your top priorities are as the new leader of the Football Players Union.
Well, Kevin, it's first a pleasure to be back on the show, and certainly love any time that you and I can spend talking about the issues that now, you know, affect our players, affect our fans. And affect the men and women who support our stadiums and support our teams. But, you know, Hawaii was a terrific experience, not just for me, but for the players. They went into a vote in order to replace a man that, frankly, is irreplaceable.
He's a legend.
And in many ways. And you know, each and every day, that I have, where I learn just a little bit more about the PA, the NFL, is a day where his stature, his wisdom, and his strength becomes more apparent to me, frankly, every hour. He made this organization into what it is today, and I'm humbled by the players' vote. But extremely confident in an association that remains strong today because of Gene's vision.
Well, and speaking on behalf of the fans, he was a big partner in making football the preeminent sport in America and, you know, arguably the world when you look at television ratings and revenue streams. So certainly big shoes to fill. Now, I've read a lot, Dee, that about this, the presentation you had that knocked the socks off the guys in Hawaii talking about their future, and that you've got a transition team, much as President Obama came in with a transition team. You've got a transition team of folks working with you to talk about the key issues from the union's perspective. Can you talk a little bit about how the transition's going and what you're trying to do as you move into office here?
Sure. really, the transition is something that is firmly rooted in what the players recognized were the important issues that face them. Obviously, it is a tremendous game. It's the best game in the world, played by the best athletes in the world. We've got the ability of enjoying the support of the greatest fans in the world. I live in a city where people will their tickets to their descendants. So the transition ideas were really ideas that came from the recognition of the players, of the critical pieces that make this game great, whether it's a media component, a business component, a health safety component, the labor and management issues that arise every day with respect to the way players relate to their partner, the NFL. Ways in which to increase revenue, both for the players individually, the association collectively, and the NFL on a whole. So one thing that everybody should recognize is that when we were in Hawaii, while the election is the thing that was covered in a major way by the press, the real work of the men in Hawaii after that election was to sit down and make careful determinations of what team do we need to have, what issues do we need to grapple with as we move forward, and not only making this game greater tomorrow than it is today, but also to address all of the issues that are important to the players.
Well, and you hit on some of the things we're going to explore here in the course of this hour, and I guess I want to start, you know, again from the fans' perspective, you know, making my plans to sit on the couch for the next couple years. I'm worried about decisions to lock us out, you know, lock the players out and lock me, the fan, out from watching on Sunday afternoon. And I look at things and I say, you know, the NFL's had a tremendous golden age the last, oh, let's call it 8 or 10 years of stadiums being built across the country, which significantly enhance revenues, huge TV deals that, you know, are perhaps coming to their conclusion here in the next couple of years. What are you going to do working as the NFL's partner, as head of the players' union, to try and help them grow the revenue streams? Because it looks like, you know, the stadium game, once the Giants and Jets stadium comes on board, that looks, and the new Dallas stadium comes on board, that looks to be the end of that era. So what are you going to do to grow revenues?
Well, first of all, to me, the greatest revenue growth plan, Kevin, is one that doesn't include a lockout. We want to play the game. The fans want to play the game. You know, just for a minute, I think back and reflect upon the people that I've met at both RFK and FedEx, where I was sitting there as a fan, and you're surrounded by people who make those game day experiences better by supporting the concessions and the total entertainment package. But, you know, the reality is that any lockout not only affects our players, it affects them as well. They're men and women who, you know, not only are doing it because they enjoy it, but certainly many of them do it because those 8 to 10 game day checks are checks that they need.
Yeah, the guys selling beer and
when,
hot dogs.
When we start about the issues of revenue enhancement, it's hard for me to not begin with anything. Any talk of a lockout not only creates angst and burdens the fans about what, you know, whether their great game will be played on a day-to-day basis, but the hard reality is that talk of a lockout creates angst, uncertainty for the people who support our games. And let's not forget, there are 600 coaches in the National Football League. That lockout affects them as well. One great advantage of being in the NFLPA family is we have a very, very close working relationship with the Coaches Association. I met with the internal liaison for that organization yesterday in my office. And, you know, Kevin, talks of revenue enhancement, talks of lockout, you can't separate those from people who worry about whether their health care is going to be covered, whether their 401k plan is going to be eliminated. So while we certainly have a number of ideas about how we can work with our partner to grow revenue, and one of the things that came out of Maui, every player was committed to making sure that this game is not only available to them, but to the fans who come see them and the people who support them.
Well, let me stick with revenue for a minute. You know, the league signed a deal with DirecTV last week or two, and there was a lot of sort of prognostications in the newspapers that that actually made it more likely that owners would want to lock out because it gives them a revenue stream that I believe is guaranteed whether or not the games are played. Do you have sort of the same view there, or do you see that as a great piece of the puzzle to grow the pie for players and make a deal more feasible?
Well, you know, to start off with, I mean, I obviously haven't seen the direct deal contract, so it's very difficult for anybody on our side to draw any broad or actually specific generalizations about the impact of a contract like that without knowing what the details are. I've read the trades and the news reports like you have. Talks of guaranteed income are, look, when anytime the NFL is able to increase revenue, it should remind everybody that while this is a great game, the men and women who support this game have made it into very, very big business. When you see a report like that about teams with guaranteed revenue in the tens of millions of dollars, and according to some reports, even if the game is not being played, well, I'm not sure there are many businesses in America who have the luxury of being in a situation where they can continue their business even if they're not in a position to provide the service and the game to the people who pay to see it.
Gotcha. So, well, listen, Dee, we're going to take a break real fast here. We'll come back for more of your thoughts about this. We're going to talk about player issues, safety, and some of the other things fans care about, but we got to pay the bills here ourselves. We're talking to Dee Smith, the new executive director of the NFLPA. We'll be back in just a minute with more Capital Thinking here on the Voice America Business Network.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
If you find yourself under the Klieg lights of a government investigation, you want experience on your side. Patton Boggs has 46 years of it. We've handled some of the biggest white-collar crime cases. Put that experience to work for you.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No, no more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hear ye, hear ye. The House will come to order.
Having trouble sorting out what's going on Capitol Hill? Patton Boggs can cut through it all. We've got the insight, the know-how, the connections to navigate. Patton Boggs, straight, unfiltered. Patton Boggs, a bipartisan voice with knowledge and 46 years of experience.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Live live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're continuing our interview with Dee Smith, the newly anointed head of the National Football League Players Association. And like me, a Redskin fan, I can remember the joy of being at the Super Bowl, watching John Riggins go off tackle. It's probably one of the top 10 highlights of my life. And Dee, it sounds like you and I have been in the stadium together at various points over the years. We can talk Redskins later. They seem to be trying to make it an interesting offseason as always. But I want to get back to our conversation a little bit about revenue streams. And a couple questions just about, you know, might be coming in the future. Average sports fans seeing a lot about calls to expand the length of the season because that's a way to see revenues. And gosh knows we all hate to pay $100 to go see a watered-down exhibition game. What are the players thinking about in terms of whether or not the season's as long as it should be, and is that a way to make the pie larger?
Well, you know, the players, we spent time and have spent time talking about that issue. And, you know, for the players, you know, every issue for the players on extending a season is, frankly, the same issue that a plant worker would have if somebody told them, hey, we're gonna turn this into a six-day week now instead of a five-day week. You know, the answers, those are the answers. The real tough questions are, from the player standpoint, is, well, those are going to be late season games. You know, what is the percentage increase, that I might sustain an injury? Are these games that are going to be played in the continental United States, or are these extra games going to be games, as the NFL has done in the past or suggested in the past, might be played outside of the United States? What's the impact on of an additional game over a five-year period? You know, the reality of that is, for many of these players, you're talking about you know, very quickly getting to a point where it's almost an extra season.
Yeah, especially if your team's making the playoffs.
While the issue of the games sound simple, the trade for a preseason game for an extra game, I think every player is open to having that conversation and reaching a deliberative, collaborative solution. But that's what we have to do. We have to sit down because for you and every person out there, they engage in the simple analysis of cost and compensation. What's the cost? What's the compensation? You know, for example, every player or you know, the people who are looking at it on the transition side ask questions about, well, for these games, what's the average game day revenue for the NFL? That's a legitimate question. It's tough sometimes getting a straight answer on that issue. So
interesting to know that DirecTV contract includes a provision allow, you know, covering more money for an extra game.
Absolutely. So you know, those are issues where it is much easier to solve once we have the ability to sit down and engage in just a straightforward conversation about the upsides to an additional game, the cost to the players, and what the plan is to make that experience better for the fan, better for the player, and better for the league.
Well, okay, let me hit a couple other questions here, fan perspective. You know, one of the things that frustrates me about the NFL is guaranteed contracts are not the norm for players, and it seems like as good players get towards the end of their career, they've got backloaded contracts that almost encourage teams to let them go, and you get all these very complex contracts with the various workout bonuses and incentive bonuses to front-load things. And I'm just wondering, you know, is that one of the things that players are concerned about, is adjusting the way they get compensated with the league to make sure that their skins don't have to release a Darryl Green or an Art Monk? I mean, I think mm-hmm. look historically, if the Skins had had a salary cap in their greatest days, they would have had to let those guys go at the end of their career, rather, you know, rather than keep them for, in the same jersey the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what players and what I'm concerned about are things as simple as metrics. When you start with the metric that the injury rate in the NFL is 100%, when you start with the metric that the average player plays less than 4 years, when you and I know that with every kickoff, as there is with every play, it can be a player's last. So, you know, those are the beginning metrics. And when you move into the more complicated analysis of contract structure, the lack of guaranteed contracts, the way in which contracts are structured, and the impact of that structure on teams, it's important to remember where your beginning metrics are, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, it does.
So, you know, when we look at the players who made this game great, and they did, they made this game great on their backs and on their legs and on their knees and on their shoulders, and they changed this game. You know, the size of rosters, the number of games, you know, you can't isolate an issue and think that we can come up with a solution because we base it on one factor. The beginning metrics are just as important as the end metrics. And really the exciting thing, frankly, for me is that the players now are supercharged about this issue. We have a number of players who have master's degrees in business. I think that the average fan would love to know the level of discussions these players have with us and our staff about issues like econometrics. That's exciting to me because it tells me that they understand both the rich and wonderful opportunity to play this game, but also that they recognize the cost. So. It's not just an issue of whether we structure contracts in a way that have better effects for veterans. The one thing the fans will tell, the players will tell you, there's no issue between rookies and veterans for most of our teams. That's when I was in Maui. I can't recall a single player saying that there is a rift between rookies and veterans.
Well,
the reality is the salary cap that is the portion of the salary cap that is devoted to rookies is less than 4%. So when you think and I've heard, you know, certainly commentators and bloggers talk about the rookie wage scale, the reality is 4% of the entire rookie is capped from that salary cap. So, you know, this isn't an issue of the rookie wage scale for veteran players and rookies. What it is a real issue of cost, compensation, risk, injury, length of season, and how do we sit down and turn over the information where all of us can simply talk about what's the best way to ensure that every fan gets to enjoy this game tomorrow?
Well, that's a good segue. You know, your talk about the rookie pool is a good segue. The draft's only a couple weeks off. It appears, D, that for the 17th straight year, I will go undrafted after exhausting my college eligibility. I don't understand that.
Kevin, I'm working on that.
All right.
Never,
that'd be great.
Never say never.
There's got to be a need for me somewhere in the NFL. But the question is, really, with just a couple weeks to go to that draft, you mentioned the rookie wage scale, and obviously folks at the top of the draft do tremendously well. But you know, in other CBA negotiations with other leagues, the issue of should there be a draft at all has come up. Do you all anticipate having major changes that players want to see made to the draft?
We haven't had any discussions about that with the NFL, Kevin. And you know, I think that's the both the beauty and the curse of having face to face and concrete negotiations. The beauty of it is if you sit down with five or six things on your list, and the other person comes with five or six things on their list. The beauty of negotiations is that you can work through it, and that's a process. And I look forward to that happening with the league very, very soon. The curse of it is if you don't have those face-to-face conversations, and I talk about them in the public, and somebody else talks about them in the public, and the fans get concerned about it, well, you know, you can have a whole heck of a lot of talking, but not a heck of a lot of action that's devoted to tackling tough issues for really the betterment of the players and the fans and the league.
We got about 90 seconds before we hit our next commercial break here. On that point, tell us about your first conversation with the commissioner and how you've opened the lines of communications there.
Well, I'm not going to talk too much about the specifics of it, but what I will say is Mr. Goodell, Roger, is a tremendous tremendous man, tremendous leader. We had a great conversation. We, I'm happy to say, have a very open and direct way of communicating with each other. We both, I'm happy to say, understand that we have to be able to talk to each other candidly and directly, and that is something that gives me a great deal of confidence that we're going to be able to work things out.
Excellent. Well, we, you know, he's not a Redskin fan, so I'm sure that's a source of tension right there. I think he's a Giants fan. But
well, you know, I root for all teams equally now.
Yeah, well, that's right. You aren't a Skins fan anymore. Well, listen, we're going to be back in just a moment after the commercial break. More with D. Smith, the new head of the NFLPA. Right now you're listening to Voice America Business Network.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
What's your name worth? The loss of a single patent, trademark, or copyright can cost millions. Make sure your intellectual property is protected. Trust Patton Boggs to manage and protect your most important assets.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hola.
Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Hello.
From Anchorage to Abu Dhabi.
Merhaba.
From Denver to Doha.
Ciao.
Patton Boggs makes business transactions the world over.
Oi.
Rely on our insights for your next deal. Patton Boggs, the international business team. Straight, unfiltered, Patton Boggs.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
Live from
from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to Capital Thinking. We're continuing our hour-long discussion with Dee Smith, the new head of the National Football League Players Association. Dee, I was talking to my dad last night about this interview, and he wanted me to remind you that one of the things he'd like to see come back is the camps that the NFLPA used to run. When in the early 80s, my dad sent me to NFLPA summer camp in Pennsylvania, where I got to learn from, and in Boston, actually, Don Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck's dad, was actually the head of that camp. And I had a terrific time. And when the Patriots came to play the Redskins that year, Don Hasselbeck met me at the game, got me tickets, and took me into the locker room after the game. And it's definitely one of the highlights of growing up. And, you know, my dad said, boy, wouldn't it be neat? I don't know if that stuff still goes on, but wouldn't it be neat to see the association doing more things like that? Mm-hmm. So I promised my dad.
Well, tell your dad he's got tremendous memories and great ideas, and I'm ready to sign him up as a consultant right now. If that is something that that we don't currently do anymore, I think we should. That sounds tremendous to me. I like our fans to know that our players know that their connection to the game is through the people who played this game and the people who play it. And anything that our association can do to foster that and to grow that relationship, I'm in favor of. I met Don Hasselbeck down in Hawaii. Tremendous guy. I'll pass on the memory to him, and it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I'm sure for the folks who participated back in the day, it was a great thing. Well, let's talk about the Don Hasselbecks of the world and the retired players. It's been a lot. There's been a lot of news about retired players, their interest in this election. Their role going forward. You mentioned sort of the average player lasting about 4 years in the NFL, so it seems to me like one of your roles has got to be not only getting them as much as they can get in that 4 years, but also preparing them for the 50 years to come after their career. So tell us a little bit about what the union has been doing and what you see might be new directions for them in the future in that area.
Yeah, and Kevin, one thing to add to that, representing their interests while they're playing and preparing them for life after football, you know, the third piece of that, and it's a theme that runs through it, is everything that we can do to maintain the health and safety of those players. Because it is a brutally taxing sport. And anybody who has watched and loved this game recognize just the ferocity and the pace at which this game is played. So one of the things that has been a primary point of my concern and my attention has been the recognition of the men who played this game and made it great. You know, I'm happy to be able to be counseled and seek advice, and I can ask them anything. But guys like Ray Shonkey and Brig Owens and Art Monk, Charles Mann, Brian Mitchell, you know, to a certain extent, I called it my burgundy and gold strategy. But those are folks who I grew up watching. But you recognize not only that there is a love for the game, but the sacrifices that men have made to make this game great are tremendous as well, and the sacrifices of their families. So I don't look at, and nobody within our organization looks at their role as simply here and now. We want our players to be safe and protected while they're playing, but we want to make sure that their life after football is better than their life before football. It's a tremendous platform. It's a tremendous business. So I believe that we've got a moral obligation to our retired players. And the folks in the association understand that. You know, what doesn't get a great deal of press is the contributions that the current players in the association makes to retired players. A substantial part of the pension, the benefits, all of that, all of those monies that go to retired players are part of the total revenue that is devoted to current players' salaries and benefits. So the players recognize it, and I was thrilled to be in a room with, you know, close to 70, 100 players. And when I said that we have an obligation, when I said that I'm proud of the obligations and the goals that these players have set to retired players, I was happy to be amongst players who believed in exactly the same thing.
Well, you've talked a little bit. You know, it seems to me there are two real main threats that a sport like baseball never recovered from. One was basically the strike and whatnot several years ago, and then two has been the steroid scandal that's haunted them. You know, with all the folks who went and testified before Congress and then turned out to actually be caught up in this. The football seems to have managed to avoid scandals containing those things at the pro level. They've had a testing program, I know, for 20-some-odd years, I believe. And I guess I wonder, do you see that as an issue that, you know, players are doing everything they can to maintain the integrity of the game in the face of HGH and all the other issues that you can be tested for today?
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that. While I think that everybody out there is thrilled with the success we've had on our testing program, to me it's important to realize that you can't really rest on your laurels. Our fans need to know that our game is clean. They need to know that our game is safe. There are tremendous and disastrous consequences for stimulants and drugs that can adversely affect the health of our players. So you will not find a person in our organization who doesn't recognize that and constantly thriving and striving to make the game safer on our levels. You know, one person I am thrilled to work with is Dr. Tom Mayer, who is the medical director of the NFLPA. You know, not only a tremendous physician, but a person that just has a passion for the health and the safety of our players. So I've asked Tom to not just be the person who is out there, you know, with this issue, but to me, health and safety is a vital part of our collective bargaining agreement. I want him there as we talk about the critical issues of the CBA because you cannot escape the physical toll that these players have to endure to play this game. And to have a medical professional that is in any way, shape, or form attenuated or distanced from the issues that are important to me, it just doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of people who, as I'm fond of saying, there's not going to be much light between us as we move forward in this process. And I'm happy to say that Tom and many others, there's not going to be a lot of space between us as we move forward.
We going to come back to the health issue after the break here, but I do want to ask you, during football season and even during the rest of the year, we see a lot of news space devoted to player discipline issues, and it seems to me that one of the insecurities of any sports league is that the commissioner is ultimately both the judge and the jury in the process.
Yeah.
And I just wonder a little bit about the concerns players might have about how player discipline is handled these days and going forward.
Yeah, and Kevin, you will not find a player who doesn't recognize the importance of enforcing the rules, regulations, and imposing discipline. But I hearken back to my years as a prosecutor. What you found out before, or as communities move towards things like community policing and community prosecution, while everybody recognized the need for enforcement, what is equally important is the understanding and the belief that the system is fair and that it is part of a collaborative process. And that's something that you hear player to player to player. So to me, the process has to be as important as the result. And as we move forward with the new agreement, I'm happy to talk about those issues now with the league and to engage in a discussion where they understand and recognize the point of view of many players that the belief in the process is in many ways just as important as the results that are reached. And I'm happy to say that that's something that I think both of us look forward to talking about.
Well, I've got about 90 seconds left before our last break here, Dee, and I got a question from a friend who says, NFL often stands for no fun league. What are you going to do to try and work with the league to loosen up some of the restrictions that keep guys from celebrating the joy of getting to the end zone?
Well, tell your friend thanks for the question. My view on this is it's pretty simple. I love football. The people who have sat in Section 306 with me for the last 7 years, we love football. And when you are at a great place like FedEx as well as any other stadium, you realize that the reason this game thrives are the fans. And we should never lose sight of the things that fans enjoy. And I am thrilled to not only be in a situation where I represent the current players, the retired players, the interest of the coaching community is important to us as well. But I got to tell you, it is great to be in a position to do things where our fans benefit from the input of our players. And
all right,
they recognize that.
We'll be back in 1 second. Our last segment with Dee Smith coming up just in a moment here on Capital Thinking.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
From K Street to Wall Street to LaSalle Street, the Patton Boggs team knows how to pull off big business transactions. Come hear what we know. Patton Boggs covers the world.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Interrogatories.
Prima facie.
Pleadings.
Motion for summary judgment.
E-discovery.
Affirmative defense.
Stipulations.
Ex parte.
Amicus brief.
Subpoena.
Litigation is confusing. Trust the litigation team at Patton Boggs to make sense of it all.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
The same firm that's been navigating the government maze for more than four decades is also the same firm that can help you protect your most important assets. Whether it's a valuable patent, an important copyright, or your next big idea, Patton Boggs is committed to protecting your intellectual property.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
From Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to Capital Thinking. We're finishing our hour with Dee Smith, the head of the National Football League Players Association. I want to turn now to talk a little bit about player safety. Dee, saw that the NFL Competition Committee adopted a few new rules at its recent owners' meeting, things like eliminating the wedge that takes place on kickoffs and a rule. My secretary is very upset. She's a big Hines Ward fan, and she believes this new rule on blocking was aimed at Hines Ward in particular. But tell us a little bit about, you mentioned earlier in the hour, player safety concerns and what you're focused on making sure that you guys have the best careers, the longest careers, and a safe mm-hmm. career to be on the field as much as possible.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, that's obviously a It's a complex issue, but, you know, like anything, you take a complex issue and you pull the pieces apart and it becomes a heck of a lot simpler. You know, one thing that I'm very interested in, I want a situation where every player can have a full copy, whether digital or hard copy, but have a full copy of their medical records within 60 days of the end of the season. You know, when I was in Hawaii, I spoke to not only obviously a lot of the players, but spoke to their families, their wives, and in some cases their fathers and mothers. You know, they have the same concerns that you and I have about our family. And when you hear circumstances where it's difficult for some reason to get medical records from teams in a timely way, you know, that's a first step that at least to me seems to be a pretty easy step to make. So while I applaud, you know, any changes in the game to make it safer, I certainly don't want to lose sight of the little things that can have a huge impact on the overall safety and health of a player. You know, I'm sure you and I both have the experience of being able to walk into our general physician, and if we wanted a set of the medical records on a hard disk or on a flash drive, you and I can probably get that within 7 to 10 days.
Right, and we haven't had 300 train wrecks at the job yesterday that we want to check up and see how our bodies recovered from. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about concussions. You know, I know that's been a big issue in the past in the NFL. And they're doing things that, like taking baseline tests for folks and comparing them. One thing I guess I don't understand is, you know, as much money as the NFL has, is why everyone isn't wearing the best possible helmets. You know, it seems like there are new helmets out there that reduce the incident rate. And is that personal preference for players? Is that something that teams aren't willing to spend money on? But it seems to me things like that are the things you should be doing to improve player safety and keep the folks on the field.
Right. Right. And Kevin, you know, people ask me, why did I want to take the time to put together a transition team? Well, you know, it's questions like that that make that answer so easy. You know, I reached out to Tom Mayer within days after I was elected. And like I said earlier, the reason why I want a guy like that at the collective bargaining table is the same reason why I want him and retired players and current players to spend time over the next 2 or 3 weeks talking about issues about player safety. You know, my goal is pretty simple. You get the right people together to ask the right questions to get the right answers. So if it is a situation where players aren't wearing the best equipment, I want to know why. And it seems to me that the process should be to establish a process so that as questions like this come up, we are always in the right position to ask the right people to get the right answers and then to make the right decisions.
Well, I want to ask about financial health, too. You know, there was an article, I think it was Sports Illustrated, that a few weeks ago about players in various sports who go bankrupt very quickly and after their playing career and the high rate of divorce. And, you know, again, everyone focuses on the stars who may have burned through millions of dollars. I think more about that average guy, the long snapper who's in the league for 5 years and makes great money compared to everybody else, but, you know, comes out and needs to have a place to go. And then this week I saw a great article about Drew Brees of the Saints and Ben Watson, the tight end that were involved in an NFL and program to work on their continuing education and their business plans. So tell us a little bit about what your plans are there to help players long term.
Well, you know, it is great to be it's great to not only work with, you know, the great people at the PA, but, you know, my executive committee, you know, guys like Kevin Mawai, Brian Dawkins, Drew Brees, you know, are tremendous resources because they are people who have thought about this issue of how do we make sure that our lives after football are better than our lives before the game. So when I was when I had the ability to talk to them about my idea, you know, I roughly call it the Players on Board program. I want our players who are interested, if they want to serve on corporate boards, I want that to be an opportunity for them, not only because it provides for a life after football, but, you know, the great thing about America, you know, many of these corporations are run by the greatest and smartest people in the world. I want our players to benefit from that because it makes me a better executive director. It makes them better members of our football community and helps us understand ways to make this game better, not only for revenue, but better for the fans.
So you're thinking of the Jack Kemp, Dave Bing model.
I like any model that is like the Drew Brees, Kevin Mawai, Steve Smith. Get your business degree if you want it. Get on a corporate board if you can afford the time and do it. Be active in your community in order to make your communities great. Those are the kind of ideas that I love. And when our players are actively involved in their communities to make them better and to engage in local business, you know what? That's not only good for football. That's good for Main Street. And we've got a moral obligation to support our communities. And I love it when I hear of players like Drew and Kevin and others who've taken the time not only to try to benefit themselves on the field, but benefit themselves off the field and benefit the communities around them.
Well, listen, I've got about one more minute, so wrap up for me. Tell me about the future of football from the players' perspective, and you know what the fans care about. Everything you're going to do to preserve and expand the game we love.
You know, it's simple. We love our fans. We couldn't do what we do without our fans, and I'm glad that they recognize that. And there was not a day where we move forward in the PA without knowing about the impact on our fans. So that's one. Two, for our players, you couldn't have a better group of people who are ambassadors for the game. And while sometimes the issues of discipline and lockouts and on-field things dominate the news day, you know, the great thing is these players are just family guys. When you sit around the pool and watch them play with their kids, the one thing you realize is there's not much really that separates us from the guy who works in the plant or the woman who's trying to work a double shift to make ends meet.
We're going to have
my job. Yep, go ahead.
I have to cut it short. That's there, it. I'm afraid. We will love to have you back as the CBA negotiations go on. You continue to move into office, and if there are things, we'd love to chat with you or the players going forward. But we've been joined by Dee Smith, the new NFLPA head, for the last hour. Terrific interview. We appreciate his time, and we'll be back next week with more Capital Thinking here on the Voice America Business Network.
Thank you for joining us for Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. We hope to have you join us again for more insight from Washington. We're here every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.